Morning, Waterdam. It's good to be with you. Snowmageddon 2026. I hope you're all safe and sound in your homes. And I hope that you're enjoying some coffee maybe while you're with your Bible, and you'll open it up to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to be talking about the God of all comfort today. So I hope you're safe and sound in your homes. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we have a lot of people to pray for this morning. We pray for everyone who's experiencing the effects of the storm, and we pray for everyone who is not has to work today or travel. We pray that in this weather that they'll be safe. We thank you for all the first responders, the doctors, the nurses who take care of us that had to go into work and stay overnight in the hospitals. We pray for everyone who has that they would have a warm place to shelter and stay out of the weather all week. It's going to be a frigid week. We lift up those that are in Minneapolis. We ask for safety and protection for everyone in the city. We pray for the first responders, for their families. We pray for peace and safety for the city. Father, we pray for Nancy Clements and her family for the loss of her brother Christopher. We also lift up Joe Vargo and his family for the loss of his oldest sister, Patricia. We pray for your comfort and peace for each of those families. And God, we lift up Wendy Jones. Her dad, Cliff, fell and broke his back. And so, Lord, we pray for Cliff's health. We ask, Lord, for Wendy and for Mark, and just ask, Lord, that you would just be with them as they have to make decisions. We just lift them up to you and wave them in front of you for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, for Jim Matadich as he recovers from a surgical procedure at home. We pray for his complete recovery. We thank you that he's doing well. We also pray for a family friend of the Ceases, Michelle Kramer, who is in the hospital and not doing well. So we pray for her entire family, the medical staff who are taking care of her, that they'll be able to help her. And Lord, we lift up Patty Delevade, her sons Jeffrey, actually, is who we're praying for, who had surgery. We lift him up. He had a great surgery, but we pray for his recovery as he requires 6 weeks of air, being in an airbed to relieve pressure points on his wounds. So we pray, Lord, for a full recovery for Jeffrey. And we ask, Lord, that you would be with his wife and daughter who will be his caregivers. And Lord, as our church gathers this morning to meditate on your word, may you bless our gathering today, even though it's virtual. We pray, God, that you would help us to open our Bibles, to study your word, and find encouragement from being together in this way. We thank you for the opportunity that we could do this. We do pray for everyone. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're starting a new series this morning, the book of 2 Corinthians. And I, as most of you recall, as we look at this kind of picture of Corinth here in the background, we have a map of Corinth. It's known for its riches, but it's also for its painters and its unique architecture. And Corinth was known not only for its riches, but also for its building columns that created in the Corinthian style were some of the most ornate places in the ancient world. Two large ports where shipping and commerce would take place. The Romans had made Corinth the capital city, the capital of Achaia in the southern half of the present-day Greece. So you can see it on the map there. And the city was flourishing. It was a trade center because of its seaport, and it had thousands of merchants coming in and out all the time. And so it developed a reputation as one of the most immoral cities in the ancient world. Now, I say all that as background. Paul founded the church in Corinth and stayed there about a year and a half teaching the word of God. As you can imagine, planting a Christian church in a city that had a reputation as Corinth would have had many pressures and conflicts. And Paul's letter is filled with very personal details about his struggles that had come over him. Indeed, suffering was a part of Paul's ministry. And so when we suffer, it can discourage the best of us. But we all must suffer at times. And so, but what do you do when it comes? What do you do when suffering comes? Paul gives us a very powerful picture of God in this church in Corinth that will be a word of encouragement to all of us. So as we get started, let's see what he starts out with in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul, as an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says, number one, that we have grace from God. Number two, we have peace from God, just in that first sentence. And how wonderful that is to be greeted that way. Grace and peace. And then we have, in verse 3, what we get down to is the comfort. This is our title of our sermon. In chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." So what a powerful picture. He reminds us of the character of God in just these three verses. First of all, that we have grace and peace. Secondly, that we have the comfort of God. And then we see the character of God. He's the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul blesses him. He says, "I praise him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Jesus Christ." Secondly, he reminds us of God, that God is merciful. And that the mercy, he's the Father of mercies. In other words, mercy originates from God. He's the source of mercy. Thirdly, God is the God of all comfort. All comfort, consolation, strength originates from God. He is the source of all comfort. And so as we look at this, Paul is telling us that we can find a word of comfort in this passage from God. He likes that word comfort. Matter of fact, he uses that word. It's the same word that we get our Greek word paraklesis. The Greek word means to come alongside. It's the same Greek word that's used to describe the Holy Spirit, that he's the comforter, the parakletos, in John 14, 16. Paul repeats that word 10 times in these first 11 verses, so you hear it a lot. He closes the letter in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, with these words. "Now may our Lord and Jesus Christ himself and the God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace." Our English word comfort comes from two Latin words meaning with strength. Paul is urging and all sorrowing people in troubled hearts to find strength in God. John MacArthur writes that Paul was saying that God had come to him and made him brave, made him bold, and made him courageous, and made him strong. God has encouraged, fortified him, and that's why he blesses God for that. And so, as we think about it, all of us have times of trials, and that we all sorrow at times. Our hearts are sorrowed. And so Paul gives us four statements in here that I think will help us and comfort us as we go through trials. We can learn from him. The first statement from Paul is found in verse 4. And so we think about it. Why are we comforted? The God of all comfort gives us comfort, he says, to comfort others. And so as we look at this passage in verse 4, it says, "Who comforts or strengthens us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." And I think what he's saying is that we've been through some things, and when we go through those things, Christ helps us, and we can experience that. We can speak into those trials for somebody else. And so when we think about God comforting other people, I pray that we will use that to comfort others. Paul says that our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort others. Who better to help someone than through somebody that's been through what they're going through. Jesus had been going through suffering and infinitely more than we could ever imagine. And he says that in verse 5. He mentions Christ because we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, because we identify with him. But so through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort too. So Jesus experienced temptation, rejection, betrayal. He was called a man of sorrows. He was accused of a crime he didn't commit. He was betrayed by a friend. He was killed on a cross, and he died for our sins. And so he can speak farther into ours because he was resurrected. We are comforted by the fact that he was resurrected. In some cases, we have to be careful, though, when we talk to people. So when we try to help somebody, it's a good caution to understand that we don't always have all the answers. And I wanted to share something from a devotion that I read in Alistair Begg's devotion on this passage. He says, we do not have all the answers. We must not forget the eloquence of empathetic silence. I've heard Chuck Swindoll say that our suffering presence is a big help to people. Not always having all the answers, but our suffering presence to be there with them. Arguably, one of the most helpful ways in which Job's companions entered into his suffering and offered comfort when they simply sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him. In fact, they were being good friends to him until they decided to open their mouths. The greatest comfort, Begg says, is that we can extend to others in their suffering is gently and with tears over the trials to point them to Christ himself, because only Christ can fully enter into our pain. As our ascended King and great high priest, he is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, and as one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. So number one, God comforts us in our afflictions so that we might comfort others, to comfort others. Secondly, to strengthen others. God has comforted us so we can find strength. We found strength from Christ, and so we can take that with us and strengthen other people. Verse 6 says, if we are afflicted, it is for, I don't want to take it away from you there, sorry. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Ray Steadman says to the church, he says, Paul is saying to the church, when I suffer, he says, it is for your comfort. And it's so that you might see what God can do and what he can take me through, he can take you through. Therefore, as you watch me, you will see how to handle this. And so as people who identify with Christ, when we suffer, other people can talk to us, we can strengthen them. God has a larger purpose in Paul's ministry and his suffering, that just as working on Paul himself, God brought consolation and salvation to other people through Paul's ministry. Thus, the idea of comfort is more soothing, soothing sympathy. There's a lot of S's there. But it includes the sense of strengthening, of helping, of making strong. Let me say that again. Thus, the idea of comfort is more than soothing sympathy, but it increases the sense of strengthening, of helping, of making strong. How comforting it is to know when you have people come alongside of you. It gives you a sense that you're not alone, doesn't it? You're not alone. And in some cases, someone sees you and sees your pain. That's always helpful to me. I don't know about you, but it's helpful to me. A prayer offer, a card sent, an email, a text message, a telephone call are all ways God uses to encourage us, encourage one another. To encourage, it means strengthening them for the endurance of it. Notice he says, it is for your comfort which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. How many of you know the Bible says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. 1 Corinthians 12:26. How important is it for them to know that they are not alone. And so it gives us hope. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:7, our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share or are partakers or fellowship in our sufferings, in other words, you're there with us, you will also share in our comfort. You've been there for us. And it gives people hope. In Romans, Paul noted that suffering produces perseverance, which in turn produces Christian character. Now, I don't like suffering. I can tell you that. I'm a baby when it comes to suffering. And so I'm glad I have a wife and friends and family to comfort me. And so God, number one, comforts us in our affliction so that we can comfort others. God comforts us in our affliction that we might strengthen others. And God comforts us in our affliction that we might trust him. And so when we think about it, Paul says something very interesting in this passage, very revealing about his personal situation. In verse 8, he tells us, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the afflictions we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." Wow. He's being very open, isn't he, and honest about the way he feels. And so we don't know the exact nature of the trouble. David Guzik said that it probably was some type of persecution or physical affliction. And it was made worse by Paul's missionary work. And he said there's at least 5 suggestions for this trouble. Maybe fighting wild beasts, 1 Corinthians 15:32. Maybe suffering 39 stripes after being brought before the Jewish court in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Maybe the riot in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. A particular persecution shortly before Paul left for Troas in Acts chapter 20, verse 19, and 1 Corinthians 16:9. And a reoccurring physical malady that we'll talk about later in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's 12, where he's asked 3 times for the Lord to take it away from him. Whatever trouble Paul was in, or he felt, he was talking about it, that it was a burden enough to overwhelm him beyond his own strength and ability. So despair had set in. And so in verse 9, we will see that he says, "Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on our own selves, but on God who raises the dead." We have to rely on God's strength sometimes, don't we? Because we have to trust him. And that's always hard when you're going through something. It's very difficult. And this is a pastor. This is Paul, one of the greatest apostles, one of the strongest promoters of the gospel. Yet he despaired. He was burdened beyond his own strength. And so he is crying out and he is asking and telling the people what he's going through. Paul reminds us of this passage that it's blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he's the Father of mercies, and he's the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions. We who are in Christ share in the sufferings of Christ, so we will, on behalf of Christ, share in the comforts, his comfort. MacArthur wrote, "God who will bring alongside us mutual sufferers, who can share the same comfort and the same strength, no matter how severe the trial might be. Even if we despair of life," he says, "the God who raises the dead can step in, and he will, until the day takes us to glory." And then the last greatest truth, he does it through the prayer of his people. Now remember what he said there about his burdens. They were beyond his ability. So it's not surprising that he starts talking about prayer. And so Paul was down but not out. He believes God will deliver him. In verse 10, he says, "He delivered us from such a deadly peril, he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again." So he has set his hope that God will work. God will deliver him. Through prayer, Paul invites the Corinthians to join him. In verse 11, he says something very interesting when we look at this passage. He says, "You must also help. You also must help us by prayer." It's a very interesting statement there. He's engaging them, asking them to help in prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted to us through the prayers of many. One of the means of grace that we have is to pray for one another. And it means a lot when somebody's praying for you, especially if you're scared, especially if you feel alone, especially if you're dealing with something that you feel overwhelmed or burdened by. So Paul is engaging people in prayer, and so he's telling the people we need to pray for one another. And he wrote in his lot of the letters, in seven of them, in fact, in at least seven of his letters, he mentions his great need for prayer support. I'll give you a couple of them. Romans 15:30, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. And then Philippians 1:19, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. Kind of the same way that he was speaking in this passage in Philippians. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. Warren Wiersbe says, the greatest help we can give to God's servants is helping together by prayer. And so when you receive God's comfort, here's a little doggerel for you, or a poem. It says, when you receive God's comfort, be sure to pass it on, then give to God the glory from whom the comfort's drawn. It's written by a man named Hess. The Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, comforts us in all of our afflictions, that we might, number one, comfort others, number two, that we might strengthen others, and number three, that we might trust and rely on Him and not ourselves, and that through prayer we will find God's strengthening. I pray for you on this snowy day that you will be safe and secure, and that you will be encouraged to reach out to the God of all comfort. Hear the words of the benediction. Now may our Lord and Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort you in your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. May God bless you richly, and we pray for you on this day to be safe and to be comforted. In Jesus' name, amen.